recording off the Creative Zen Micro here. So the pickup isn't that great. It doesn't really have a microphone jack. It has a headphone jack, but no microphone. It's just got the little pinhole mic here. But the quality is pretty good. You just have to amplify it. So basically, I'm going to toast the original presentation. And what I'm going to do basically is run through the meat of it, if you will, the actual tools themselves.
Yep.
So start. Now, you guys are all familiar with blogging and all of that, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I don't need to show you Blogger or anything like that. How about RSS? You comfortable with that? Or?
No, not me.
No? Okay. Basically, RSS is a file format in XML for representing the contents of blogs or sites that have rapidly changing contents. And you can see...
Format and filter.
Sorry?
Format and filter.
Well, it can be used as a filter. We'll talk about that, but for now it's just a representation of the site. So, oops. I'm working without a screen here, so... Oh, and I got a parsing error. Why have I got a parsing error?
Not well formed.
Well, you can see my back end here. This is the back end of my site. This is all... Let's just try publishing.
So this is your blog creation site?
That's right, yeah. This is actually the new version. I just rolled it out. Maybe about a month ago now, so it's still got some loose ends, but basically this is the tool that I used to create my website and all of that. So it's not available yet at the moment, but it will be. It's all written in Perl, and it's all website, server side. Let's see if that fixed my XML here. There we go. So this is one of the glitches, right? It automatically generates my XML when I send the newsletter. But unfortunately, it puts HTML headers on it, and that's invalid XML. And so it kind of says, well, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. So I still have to update the XML page manually at the moment. I'm just going to go in and fix the code.
It's going to be what branch of NRC do you work with?
Pardon?
What branch of National Research Council do you work with?
It's the Institute for Information Technology.
Okay.
And then there's an Atlantic Initiative within that, and then within that, I'm with the e-learning research group.
So you're building this blog tool. This is, if I understand what you're saying, this is a tool that you're actually working on.
Right. Yeah, and I will be releasing it, who knows when, last fall. So it will be available for use. And I'm trying to get it to the point where you just take the code, put it on your web server, set up your database in MySQL, and it goes.
Play with the style sheet. Make it look the way you want.
Play with the style sheet. Style sheets, all the styles are built right into the system, so you don't even need to mess around, you know, with extra files. There's, I just have the CSS defined as a template within the system. You just go into that,
right.
And actually, the way it works right now is it generates random styles on the fly. It's a cute trick. Not really functional. But anyhow, the main point here is, as you can see, this is XML, and we have basically this stuff here describing what the channel. A channel is just another name for a website, and it's just the name of the site, description of the site, when it was last built. As you can see, I haven't updated that recently. Just basic information. And then the meat of the RSS file is in these items. This is an item right here. Each item corresponds to a separate news item or article on the website. And I guess the main point about it is it's a very simple representation. All you've got is you got the title, you got the link, a short description, and that's pretty much it. You can, with RSS, you can add extra elements if you want. And there's a bunch of extra elements that people do add. I've got just the very basic setup here, but I could use additional elements to talk about the author, the publisher of the article, the publication date, and syndication information, rights information. I can add all of those things in as well. It's the thing about RSS is it really is, to a large degree, mix and match. Now, the reason why I present it in RSS is because RSS is machine readable, which means that if I'm outputting in this format, then people at the other end can pick it up and read it using their own software systems. And as an example of that, this is I showed this last night. This is blog lines. And
so when you're writing this content, you're in a sort of a WYSIWYG type editor. You don't have to go in and enter those codes, or do you have to do it manually?
For the RSS?
Yeah.
Well, the way it depends. The way I do it is, again, I just zip into my back end here, and then I'll create a post, and this is what I use.
So that will then do the coding for you.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the question.
Yeah, and then actually I use the same input form and the same data format for the little posts, the links that I do, also my longer articles, and as well for comments. People come in and they comment on my site, and it all gets handled by the same tool behind the scenes, right? And that's why you see the difference. And I'm working on the photo gallery because I want that to be part of the same thing too. The approach that I'm taking, and it's a bit different of an approach than people are taking in the educational XML world, is I'm working on a base core format, link, description, title, and then as I have different types of content, I just slide in the different types of content. So actually, Norm Friesen just came out with a paper talking about that specifically for educational metadata. So I need to spend some time with Norm's paper and see how he's doing differs from what I'm doing. But I think that's the direction in which we're drifting, is to work from these really simple cores. The thing is, like, my tool automates the creation of the XML, but the advantage of XML and RSS in particular is anybody can create it simply with a notepad. And I actually have an article on my website, how to create an RSS file with Notepad, a web server, and a beer.
Yeah. And you just need to know the identifiers and tags and those kinds of things.
That's right. And because they're so simple, it really bothers me that I'm not the top link on Google for RSS and beers. And there it is. This is, if you've got, students or people working on RSS, this has proven to be a very popular article. And you see the comments here, comment after comment. And as it turns out, that article works. I mean, that article gives somebody Notepad. They do create a working RSS feed pretty much every time, which is very pleasing to
that
me.
Appeals.
Yeah, it does. So anyhow, here we are over on Blog Lines. Now, Blog Lines is somebody else's site. They've just set it up. But what they've got is a program called a harvester. And what the harvester does is, from time to time, it'll access my website and pick up my RSS file and bring it in. And then what Blog Lines will do from this point, is basically presented to people. You can see people subscribe, they use Blog Lines, they subscribe to my feed inside this environment. So I've got 627 in Blog Lines. There's a bunch of different RSS readers. Actually, it's kind of interesting. Firefox itself, which is the browser that I use, has an RSS reader built right into it. Also, the Safari browser from Apple also has an RSS reader. I haven't tried that one because I don't use Mac, but I have tried the one here in Firefox, and
I use the little one that's a, based on Internet Explorer, I guess, called RSS Bandit.
Sure, yeah. I've used RSS Bandit. They're all pretty, they're pretty much the same. Bloglines is a little bit different, but they're all pretty much the same. With, you know, they've got the subscriptions on the one side. Usually it's a three-pane design.
Right.
Subscription, list of items, and then the actual item that you're looking at. Bloglines doesn't do the list of items. It just gives you the items that you're looking at. So this is my feed as seen, and so it's the XML that I just showed you as seen through Bloglines. Now it seems to me Google has one. I've forgotten what the URL for it is though. Is it feed? Maybe, maybe not.
So in for putting up blogs, is, I haven't done that. Is most of the software commercial, or are there free tools for that?
Yeah, putting up blogs, the software is basically free. And, well, I guess it's not fees. There's two things I'd recommend, right? Is right, Blogger, of course. And Blogger's a piece of cake to work with. It really is. For people who are just creating their own blog for the first time, I always recommend Blogger because it's so simple to work with. So I've got a bunch of different blogs here, but you know, you create a new post, and everything's a bit slow today, isn't it? But it's going to take you right into really what amounts to a WYSIWYG editor here. It'll do it eventually. There we go. Right, and so blah, 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 blah. Right, and you know, all of your pretty much, yeah. It's just a web-based
erase things.
Yeah. So, there's your block quote. And this is new. This is the import an image, and that's only been out for a month or so, and it's already proven to be very popular. And you know, it's just the usual browse to find an image kind of thing, and then it'll just pop it right into your blog. The other thing about Blogger too is, it'll automatically generate RSS for you. Now, it uses a slightly different format. It uses a format called Atom. Now, what Atom is a lot of the original RSS designers got together, and you know, they're always complaining about RSS. It doesn't work, doesn't work. So basically, they rebuilt RSS from the ground up. And so Blogger will automatically create, will automatically create an Atom file for any Blogger blog. And it's always called, well, the name of the blog, then atom.xml. And so here it is. And now, this doesn't look like the other one because it's been styled. We pop into the source here. You can see it's kind of, it's like the same sort of source. The thing with any XML file, and this includes RSS, is if you add a style sheet declaration to it in the second line,
right,
then the XML file can be rendered inside a browser as though it were HTML. It looks exactly like HTML.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's a lot to that. I think we're sort of like in a transition point, because everybody's working in HTML these days, you know, for web courses and all of that, the whole works. But we're just on the verge, I think we've been on the verge for the last year and a half or so, of all of this stuff being done in XML. It's like the talk that I did last night, for example. I'm just going to go to it. I'll go to a different one. The same thing, okay. But you recognize the format from yesterday, right? A nice slidey thing. But if you go into the source, this is just XML, well, it's pretty much, well, it's actually XHTML, but it's basically XML that has been styled. And so the idea here is now we're creating content in XML, and then once we have the XML, now we can style it, and if we can style it, we can do all kinds of things with it. And that's what's happened here with this. I've taken a single page, and with the styling, I've created the slideshow. And more we're going to see the online learning stuff like this happen as well, where you're creating the basic content in XML, makes it searchable, it means you can pull out things if you run like an X query or something like that on it, all kinds of filtering mechanisms. You pull out bits of the XML and then style it. And so from the same basic file, you've got all kinds of different ways of looking at and using the same kind of material. Now the thing is, another thing that I've done on my own site, and this is the other half of that system that I just showed you there, is, oops, I'm already there, I've created a thing called EduRSS. Now what EduRSS is, well, it's just like blog lines in the sense that it's an aggregator. You know, it'll go out to the web, it'll pull in this XML content. But then what what EduRSS does that BlogLines doesn't do, although these things are all beginning to do this now, is it takes this content and it filters it. And where did it go? There it is. And specifically what it does is it organizes these feeds into topic-specific feeds. So, for example, let's take assessment. Now, EduRSS harvests about 300 and some odd RSS feeds from different writers in educational technology. This is that content, but filtered now just to focus on assessment. And so, there's what you see.
So is all this being database?
Yes. Yeah, this is all in the database, and the database I simply manage through PHP. My admin is the easiest access into that. The database itself is MySQL because it's free, and it's relatively easy to manage. This PHP MySQL, it's a script written in PHP. Toss it into your website, just like another web page, and then you just set up, there's a configuration file, you set up the address of your database and your user ID and that, and then it does all this for you. EduRSS is currently running here, and so here's the actual data for EduRSS. Here's the list of feeds that I harvest from, and then on the all the different, David Wiley and Christian Science Monitor, Darcy Norman.
So you had to manually write these databases?
Well, the database, well, I did, but now I can just export the SQL. So if I just do that, and now here's the SQL. You take that SQL, and then if you had MySQL and this set up, then you would simply go into it and pick your database and just hit that, paste the SQL into there, and it'll build your database. So when I release, and this is the thing that's coming out, right, when I release EduRSS 0.2, I'll release the code, but I'll also release the SQL. So you just toss it into that square there, hit run, and it'll build all the different fields in that. This one's pretty simple. As you can see, there's a few things here. The feeds, feed owners, and this is the biggie, right? This is links. And 100,000 links. So that's the neat thing, right? I got 100,000 resources on this thing. And it brought them in, filtered them, organized them all automatically. EduRSS is always running. I hardly pay attention to it. It just does, and this is why we do it in XML. You don't need to be tending to this every day. So, I'll come back to... Topic listings are being generated automatically, and what's really neat is they also output in XML, and so the cycle repeats, right? And this is where we get, talking yesterday about all this network stuff, and it's all arm waving and ranting and raving, but if you see this now, this is the concrete instance of that sort of thing, because you have your blogs, right, and all the feeds come out from the blogs, and then they hit something like EduRSS, which reorganizes them and filters them and arranges them into the topics, and then they go out as feeds again, and people pick up those feeds, and they pick them up into their own blogger or whatever. And the way I plan this to work, and I'm almost done now, is I have my blogging engine on my own website, and so I can create the content, but also I'm hooking into it EduRSS. So I have EduRSS feeding in. I can see the stuff as it comes in. I can pick out things, add comments or whatever, but make use of all of that filtering, and then I'll use that as the basis to create OL Daily. Like right now I'm still reading the feeds and picking out things manually. And there are some systems just coming online that can do that now. I'm just trying to think of one off. Well, actually, BlogLines. We go back to BlogLines. Whoops.
COIM.
Yeah. Why don't they have a COIM extension? It'd be nothing but spam, right? Because all you got are typos.
COIM. That would probably be centrified.
Back into my feeds here. So pick something here that'll be smallish. Oh well, here's EduRSS search results. This is one of those feeds that came out of EduRSS. Now it's being picked up in blog lines again. But now I look at this, right? I can blog this. Right? And so what it'll do is it'll pick up the information from the feed. And eventually now it's going to give me this little authoring window with the URL and that already typed in. So here's a neat thing. All right, and now I'll publish it to my blog. And so I have a blog somewhere here on BlogLines, my blog. So there's my blog. This is my BlogLines blog, right? It's not my real blog. Now, what I want to happen, and this is the part that they're not quite there yet, I don't want this to be a blog lines blog. I want this to be my blog, right? So that if I'm using something like blog lines and I blog this thing and I enter the content, it gets sent from that website back to my website. And talking about Atom, one of the things that they built in Atom is what's called the Atom API. And the intent of that is to allow that sort of thing to happen, where code on one site can be used to send content as input to the next site. And Blogger has it. There's a Blogger API out there. And I've actually written a little piece of test code. And I can't really access it right now because I don't remember what it is. But where I can fill in a form on my website, hit submit, and it shows up on my Blogger site. And so that's all being defined by Atom. Now what I want to do, if you go to my site, and this is definitely coming, and you hit comment on one of my items, right, it's like a comments field, you've seen these before, I'm sure, right, and people type in blah, 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 their comment. What I want to happen here is when they click submit, the content doesn't go on my site. The content goes to the blog of whoever entered the comment. And part of that is because site and it's just spam, well, you're spamming yourself. Who cares? So, but there's a bunch of things that need to happen for that to work. And one of them is a way for me, for my website to know where your website is. And so there's been some work on a system called OpenID and just mechanisms that allow people when they go to a site like my site, for my site to recognize what their URL is. Have we run out of time? Okay.
Conversational right there.
So, and the basics of that are outlined here. And what this is my take on it. There's some other projects as well, but basically, if you fiddle with your browser controls, the way I do it is you stick your own website address at the end of your HTTP agent header string. Some extension, there's a Firefox extension, and there's a Windows thing you can do that, so you mess around with that. You just toss your URL in there, and then what this does is you go to another site, it picks this up out of the headers, and that's going to set off a set of transactions between my website and your website, so that my website knows that it's really you, and your website knows that it's really me. And so I've provided examples, and there's you're messing around with your user agent, and then there's this the sample code that actually is just a proof of concept code. It's not a fully blown system, and I think we're going to see something like this. There's a blogging site out there called Live Journal. They're working on the same thing. We've been in communication back and forth. They've got pretty much the same thing on the go, but what they're doing is instead of picking it up off the user agent string, they have the person actually type in the URL. So naturally, I think my system's more elegant. Okay, and so I think we actually have run out of time. The only other thing I want to show you, and I will, because is you're getting more and more services similar to EduRSS out there. Here's one, Technorati. And what Technorati does is, like, I harvest 300 RSS feeds. Technorati harvests 20 million blogs. And what's neat about Technorati is I can search for my own blog on Technorati, and now this is all the stuff that has been written about my site by other people in the blogosphere, as Technorati's just picked this up. And then it organizes all of this content by tags. Well, it organizes. People tag. Remember I talked about tags. And so these are the different tags that Technorati has been picking up from the blogosphere. And it'll organize it. There's popular things and things about blogs or books or whatever. So you can sort of see, again, the use of this to create the automatic organization of the content. It's just to make it easier to pick up, to scan, and then with the ID being the other part of that, you'll see a lot more of this content creation. So, and the idea here is all of this put together gives you this content creation. It's not just reading it, but it's you're interacting with it all the time, and all of these interactions create this network of connections. And he's looking very patient, but less so every second, so I think I'll finish it here. And it's kind of an abbreviated presentation, but I hope